Welcome to the Transform Your Mind Radio Hour and Podcast, a show about transformation, mindset transformation. This is Life Coach Marnie Young, and in my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, I share my journey of being born in poverty in Guyana to have an abundance in America. And I did it by changing my mindset. Let's go do it. Each week, I bring you guests or one-on-one coaching sessions to help you change your mindset and transform your life. Thanks for welcome back to the Transform Your Mind, Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. I'm your host, Life Coach Marnie Young, and sitting in the guest chair today is Joy Clausen Soto. Joy is a cancer survivor, filmmaker, and author. And today we are going to be talking on the topic of how to find your purpose after cancer or after a major illness. Welcome, Joy.
Hi, thank you. It's great to be here.
Yes, yes. I'm going to enjoy our conversation because you've got a lot of nuggets on perseverance. And a lot of times, you know, it's a great and inspiring story because a lot of people can be at a crossroads or a fork in the road. And, you know, our story helps them to find inspiration and find hope. So, you know, our conversation today is going to help a lot of people. So I'm setting that intention as we go forward.
I love it.
All right. Awesome. All right. So let me give you guys a little bit more, just a quick bio of Joy. Like I said, I can't wait for her to share her story with you. But Joy Clausen Soto is a keynote speaker who inspires audiences with her story of perseverance. She followed her dream to become a dolphin trainer at SeaWorld San Diego. After that, Joy pursued another dream by going to film school and becoming a filmmaker. Then at 25, she found a lump on her throat. That's when she found out that she had an aggressive form of cancer. And because she's here today looking so beautiful, we can assume that she doesn't have that anymore. Joy made a documentary on her journey with hope of showing a story of survival. And it was called Just 1 Year, A Story of Triumph Over Cancer. So again, that's an amazing, inspiring bio. So I'm going to dive right in and ask for you to share your journey as a dolphin trainer and how that specifically helped you overcome cancer, because I know that you're tying them in somehow.
Yeah, well, my journey as a dolphin trainer started a long time ago when I was in college, but for me, the really important part was when I applied to get a job at SeaWorld, which I tried a number of times, never worked out because they just weren't hiring people. And I happened to call at the right time and they asked me to take a swim test. And I was in Chicago at the time. I had to fly out to San Diego and I had 1 day to do this. So I went down to a pool and I practiced the swim test, which was holding your breath for 120 feet underwater, touching the bottom, which is 26 feet deep, and some other things. But those were the biggest things that I was having trouble with. So I went down, started practicing. I would hold my breath and then come up maybe a quarter of the way. I couldn't even get half the way through the pool without needing to come up for oxygen. And I, you know, when I dive down to a pool that's 6 feet deep, my ears start to hurt. So for some reason, I still got on that plane and went to San Diego. And I knew that I couldn't practice physically. So I remembered reading about athletes and how they use their mind and they visualize the ball going through the hoop and gymnasts and visualize themselves doing all those moves. So that's what I started doing. I was on the plane and I started visualizing everything. I visualized myself swimming through the water, wanting to give up and not giving up and making it to the other side. And also same thing with diving down. And I practiced holding my breath the whole time on the airplane. I probably looked like a crazy person. I had my watch out and started practicing that. But that really helped me with cancer because What happened was I went there to SeaWorld and miraculously I actually got in the water and I passed the test. And I was so happy that I had done it that I didn't even care if I got the job, because I was just so proud of myself that I put myself out there and I did something that I physically couldn't do just 24 hours before. When it came to cancer, because I'd seen how powerful visualization was, I would use that when I was sick. Because I think one of the things when you are going through something like that is that you feel a loss of control. And we all know that a loss of control can lead to depression. And so when I was going through cancer, I didn't have control over what the chemotherapy was doing in my body. I didn't have control over what the doctors were doing, but I did have control over my mind. And so I would visualize the chemotherapy, killing the cancer, eating the cancer. I'd, you know, make these little things in my mind to help it along. And so that helped me. And even though it may not have been real control, perceived control can help you just as much. And so I was using that as one of the ways I was able to gain back control. So that was one thing that helped me from my job as a dolphin trainer. The other thing was I had this huge network of people who were rooting for me. I remember a good friend of mine, I remember talking to her on the phone and I told her that I had cancer. And there was this definitive moment when she said, "Do you want me to tell anyone?" Because I think some people don't want people to know. But I said, "If there's ever a time I need my friends, it's now." And so before I knew it, she basically set out an alert throughout the park and she let everyone know that I was sick. I needed help. I needed people to go up to visit me. At that time, I wasn't at SeaWorld anymore. I was actually 3 miles north in Ventura. So it's a long drive for people. And I had been going to pursue a career in filmmaking. And so all of these people started, you know, taking turns and scheduling, who's going to go up next to see Joy. And I just had this really powerful uplifting of love in my life that I felt. And I don't know if I'd been at a different place, if I would have experienced that. So I feel very grateful that I had been working with the animals and I happen to have all of these people who are used to caring for other beings be there for me, because they just knew how to help lift me up and take care of me. So those two things are, I think, are the most important things I took from being an animal trainer.
This next track is from Ghana artist Rage Perry, MMMT. This song is called Cash Out. Stream this track on soundcloud.com/Marcus-Gates-1. Or watch this music video on YouTube. Cash Out. Money every day in your life.
Yeah, it's your boy, Raj Perry, MMMT, Money Making Machine Team, the whole world.
MT Energy Fuel Corner, where I am a boy. Scary for the money.
Hustle, 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 we the hustle for the money. Hustle, 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 we the hustle for the money. Hustle, 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 we the hustle for the money. Hustle, 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 we the hustle for the money. Sikayo, sikayo, hey, jump on me. Wakuni nye bakope Egla koji sike dro Miti mani vota reji Togwe senyi masutre Why you go kill your mother? Because of money you dey kill. You know no say go fi bless you. Sike yo, sike yo.
Thanks to Ariel Octavia for supporting the Transform Your Mind podcast. Are you a musician or filmmaker looking for a professional video editor? Then head over to editforreal.com. Ariel specializes in sound design, color correction, and color grading. Whether you're an amateur or professional, she is here to help you achieve your final touches. Visit Ariel on the web at www.editforreal.com. That's www.editforreal.com for more information.
Leadership, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starfleet Leadership Academy. Its ongoing mission to develop leaders through Star Trek. to boldly go where no podcast has gone before. A Star Trek podcast told through the lens of leadership development. Subscribe today, the Starfleet Leadership Academy.
This podcast is sponsored by HappyBeingWell.com. HappyBeingWell.com carries the best selection of natural products for your self-care pleasures, including high-fashion, high-comfort yoga leggings, crystals, sage, natural candles, natural soaps, natural face masks, and more. Go to HappyBeingWell.com to subscribe to our newsletter and get 10% off your purchase, including free shipping in the USA.
Wow. I love your story. And thank you for, touching on those things. When you talked about your network and when the girl asked you if you can, if she can tell anybody, I thought you were going to go the route of they had a corporate prayer, because prayer is also part of the healing process. You know, prayer is very powerful. A lot of times when people are sick, they form a prayer line and everybody prays and all that. But, you know, prayer is still love. And what you're talking about is the collective consciousness of the love of these people had for you. And I'm pretty sure, you know, they prayed for you too. It's just, you didn't have a prayer line, but, the prayer and visualization. My very last show that I recorded, it's not out yet. I had, this psychologist come on. And I always reference back to when anybody's talking about the visualization as part of healing, my foundation person is Christopher Reeves, because when I read his book about how he used visualization to heal his body when it was paralyzed, you know, from the neck down, and all he could do is blow into a straw to speak and stuff like that. And in the end, he was able to start walking and speaking and all that, and he did it by sitting on his porch every single day and visualizing his body healing. And that's my base, and a lot of people have done that since then, but visualization is big. I have a niece that is dreaming to go to the Olympics as an Olympian, as a gymnast. And the first thing I did after the Olympics is I called her up and I says, all right, Chelsea, because first of all, you have to have people that you look up to, and you have to have a hero, right? And I says, well, which one of the gymnasts that you loved? And, and then she told me. And I said, do you know her story? And she told me. And I says, which program you're going to win the gold at? Yeah, and I was just testing her. I was just testing her to see if her mind was right. You know what I mean? Uh-huh, uh-huh. She responded. She said, maybe. And I let it go. She said, maybe the floor or the vault. And I let it go, because the point is that she's already there. You know what I mean? She didn't say, oh, I don't think I'm going to win gold. I just want to go to the Olympics, because that's what her father told me. You know, yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah, the vision. And I just basically wanted her to start that process of visualizing just exactly what you talked about when you're on the plane, visualize. And I told her to visualize herself, walking into the stadium with all the teammates, visualizing herself, winning, and her father going crazy. Because one of my favorite memories from the Olympics is when that, one of the swimmers, won, the guy was just going crazy, he was all over the place. I've never seen anybody celebrate like that. I says, visualize your father going crazy, or your mom, or whatever, and just visualize it. So that was great. And also, one thing before we continue, as you were talking, I remember, I'm a reader, and everything that I'm going to talk about, on this show is usually books. And I read this book that's called Can't Hurt Me, and it was a Navy SEAL. And he was talking about those pool dives and tying a knot onto there, tying a knot in the water and doing all these different things and holding your breath. And, at one point in time, he said that he just went out of body experience, because that's very hard. So I'm glad that you're able to share that visualizing on a plane helped you to do the work that you hadn't done physically before, because it's very good. And right. So that's awesome. So bridge the gap in a little bit for us about your cancer story.
So I had been working with animals and it was my dream job, but then I found myself just thinking about filmmaking and it kind of took up my thoughts during the day when I was doing my dream job. So I decided to actually go to film school. So I left a job that I loved and went to film school. So that was before I was sick. And I had always had this passion for filmmaking. I'd been doing it for a while on my computer, you know, editing things together, and people would love it and laugh. And, you know, it was just so wonderful to see people react to your work. And I was in film school for 3 months, and then that's when I found the lump. So that's why I was 3 hours away, because I had gone to film school. And I remember walking into my uncle's house on Thanksgiving, and I had been coughing. The cough was getting worse instead of better. And I felt really tired and I coughed, but for the first time since I'd been coughing, I put my hand on my throat, and that's when I felt the lump. And it was shortly after that that I was diagnosed with cancer. It was stage 2 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I remember asking the doctor, well, what happens if I don't get chemotherapy? Because who really wants chemotherapy? And she said, you'll be dead within the year. So I really didn't have any choice. It was an aggressive form of cancer, and I needed to, you know, just stick it out and battle it with the chemotherapy. But that's kind of what happened. And then I was in film school. So I thought, well, maybe I can still go to the classes, but not do all of the work, because it was really intensive. I approached my film school, I called them and I let them know what was happening. And maybe I got the wrong person on the phone, I'm not sure what happened, but I said, hey, I just wanna go to the classes, not do all the rest of the work. And I was diagnosed with cancer. And she said, no. I said, well, I don't think you understand. I was just diagnosed with cancer, you know, wow. Trying to play the cancer card there. That didn't work at all. And she said, no, there's nothing I can do about it. And I remember sitting in my-
Not very pathetic person, wow.
No, not at all. And I remember I was in my car, and it was nighttime at the time, because it was, you know, November when it gets dark earlier. And I was just in the darkness and the stillness of, well, what next? And that's when I started to come up with the idea of making a documentary on myself, because that way I could still learn about filmmaking. And I wanted to show a story of survival, because I turn to the movies, I want to see other people's stories. And all the stories I had been watching back when I was sick were all people who passed away. And I knew that there were millions and millions of survivors out there. And so that was the story I wanted to show, was a story of survival. And I'm so thankful that I was able to show that.
Well, I'm going to cut you there for a minute, because what it sounds like is that at no point in time you thought you're going to die, because you wanted to show a story of survival. So that's fate. Where did you get that fate?
The faith. I've always had a belief in God, and my dad's always had that with me. I remember we had a lot of my relatives pass away in a short period of time when I was little. And I just remember sitting on the stairs with him in our house, and he explained to me death. And he said, you know, some people are here for a certain reason, to help other people learn lessons and to learn lessons themselves. And that can mean them just being here for a couple of minutes, or it can mean an entire lifetime. And so I just kind of took that, and I've used that throughout my life of, okay, well, I'm here to learn lessons. I don't know what those lessons are. Hopefully I'm learning them right now, and I'm here to help teach other people lessons. And so that has helped me get through everything.
Okay, that's awesome. All right, well, continue, because you're saying that you decided to do a documentary of survival. And I have to cut you there, because you have to believe. And I know that, you know, regardless of how you believe and how you have faith, when you hear that cancer diagnosis, fear has to creep in, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
Well, I was in a battle with myself. I actually have footage of me talking to the camera when, at my lowest point, and I'm battling myself. So I like to say it was the Mount Everest climbing joy versus sad joy. And I was trying to cheer myself on and say, you're so lucky, you're too lucky to feel like this. Because it's true. I'd had a really good life up until that point. So why was I complaining?
You're only 25.
I was only 25, yeah. I mean, other people have they're diagnosed way earlier. I mean, we all have things that happen in our journey.
That's a positive spin.
Yeah. Right. But what really helped me was I had listened to Zig Ziglar. I don't know if anyone here has, or have you ever heard of Zig Ziglar?
Yeah. I've heard of Zig Ziglar. I don't follow his teaching that much, but Tony Robbins, who is my hero and the person that got me on this path, he talks about Zig Ziglar because Zig Ziglar is who started him. If you were talking about Bob Proctor or Dwayne Dyer or some of the other people that I follow, Zig Ziglar is one of them, but they're all in the same bucket of you design your life and you don't just take what comes to you, you design it, you whatever. Yeah, go ahead.
Because I listened to his stories, there is one story of him being stuck in an airport, his flight was canceled. And instead of him getting angry or upset, like most people would have, he just said, fantastic. And he came up with all the reasons why it was good that his flight wasn't taking off, that, maybe there's something wrong with that plane or the people flying that plane or the weather that plane will be taking off in. If that's the case, I don't want to be up there. I want to be right down here. Fantastic. And that was powerful for me because it showed me that we have control over how we either respond or react to things. And so I had a moment where I remembered that, where I was kind of in the depths of things, hitting me. And I started thinking of all the things I was grateful for. I was grateful for my friends and family and all the love I was receiving. I was grateful that they found it at stage two. I was grateful that they found it, period, and they can treat it. Yeah. So I started flipping it instead of going, well, I was diagnosed with cancer and this is horrible. And I think flipping it was very powerful and it helped me to get through it better.
That's awesome. The
Entrepods team is excited to announce the new Bootstrap Bootcamp. This self-paced course is loaded with worksheets and innovative industry advice to make your business become more profitable in the next 30 days. This course is specifically designed for solopreneurs or those that work in small teams. We focus on the whys and hows of entrepreneurship to help you make time for the important things in life and take it to the next level. Take back your confidence and become the business owner you've always wanted to be. If you get stuck, our course is equipped with industry experts in business management, podcasting, social media, customer relations, and more. We're here to give you powerful strategies that have been refined for small business owners like yourself. Sign up today at entrepods.com/bootstrap-bootcamp.
Attention all female employee professionals and independent owners. Are you struggling to look the part? Do you need quality, versatile business wear that's suitable for all your day-to-day work needs? If so, Miss Madame Boutique is the place. We all know that when it comes to brand representation, how you present yourself is key. Miss Madame offers a wide range of business wear catered to multiple professions, settings, and backgrounds. We have something for everyone here. Miss Madame also offers day-to-night wear. Women love the conveniency to be already dressed appropriately to go out and enjoy their personal leisures after a long day at work. We look forward to becoming your number one resource for all your business wear attire needs. Stay connected with us on Instagram and Facebook at Miss Madame Boutique. And also visit our webpage at www.missmadameboutique.com.
In this technology-filled world, it is easy for our kids to get lost in video games, the internet, and so on, such that they forget just how beautiful the world around them is. Does this sound like your little ones? Would you want them to change their perspective so that they can see that the world is full of so much richness and beauty? If so, the book from author Dwayne Williams, Into the Woody Hills, available on Amazon, is the help you've been searching for. This must-read book will resonate with your kids and teach them that there is more to life than just screens. It makes the perfect gift for any child in your life, your own kids, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, even kids in your classroom. So are you ready to change your kids' lives? One story can change everything and help you achieve all of this. Into the Woody Hills is an amazing storybook designed for all children that will teach kids the beauty of the world around us. Order your copy right now on Amazon. Into the Woody Hills from author Dwayne Williams.
Would you like a simple, uncomplicated access to the crypto world? Real business, real people, real programs from the Buy Bank and ZenIQ technology. This is how you can make up for whatever you've lost. Maximum protection of digital assets, fusion of the crypto world and the existing financial world. Buy your own ZenIQ hub and begin to receive your ZenIQ token. Earn even more with an affiliate program. Head over to t.me/SAFIR Dubai 1 to register, or click the links on the show page, blog.myhelps.us, for more information.
I know we were going to have a powerful conversation. I mean, this is good stuff, because that is basically, you know, people go to this doom and gloom, but it's they say, another quote is, not what happens to you, but how you respond to what happened to you. It's your reaction that what happens to you. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's your mind and your thoughts and everything is so, so powerful as far as healing, and gratitude is big, you know. So I'm glad that you were able to do that. It means that you must have had some good foundation, and it sounds like you did. You know, the training is training an animal, your dad, you talked about your dad and friends and faith and God. You have to have that foundation, because they say that, another quote that I always use, that you don't learn to breathe or learn to swim when you're drowning. You've got to learn to do it before. Because if you don't learn to do it before, yes, when you're hit with these instances, you're not going to know what to do. So you have to have a foundation. So
absolutely, that is great. You know, what's interesting is, you know, that's one of the things that people talk about, is you need to continually put that motivation in. And I think a lot of us are on our phones looking at all the news and all the negativity. And it's like, you just have to not do that and listen to people who are motivational and inspirational to you, and read books that are inspirational and get that in to help make you stronger for when you do go through those difficult times.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's true. Yes, you've got it. You've got to go through that journey so that when you get to the point where, because they said life is always going to give you challenges. If you're living, you're going to get challenges, and how you respond to them determines the quality of your life. So awesome. All right. I love that. Now, my next question here, I think you touched on it a little bit, but I guess probably you can expand on it a little bit more. You said that one of the things that you did, that you were able to control the elements in an uncontrollable situation. And you just said a minute ago that your visualization of the chemotherapy that you had to do is an uncontrollable situation. What are some of the other things, or some of the other elements that you use in this uncontrollable situation to control it?
Okay, well, one thing was making the documentary, because if you look at that, film school said, this is the end of your journey here. Thank you very much. And I could have just let that be the end of my journey, but instead I knew that I didn't have to let them control my life, that I had control over my life. And so that's another reason why I chose to make the documentary, because I was taking back control of my life. So that was one way where I could control my future, my path in life. You know, it's not what other people are saying or doing, it's what I decide to do. So that was one thing that was very powerful. And the fact that the whole time that I was sick, I had this visual of me surviving and making a story of survival. I think that was very powerful, and that helped me. Another thing I did is I made a notebook. So I'm kind of a geek, and I had this little 3-ring binder with some paper in it and a lot of those page protectors, those plastic page protectors. And I would ask the doctors and nurses for everything. So I had my chemotherapy protocol, I had my blood work, I had everything. I would write down notes and ask them questions. They tell me, well, this chemotherapy doesn't go with this antibiotic. You have to wait 24 hours. You know, this is what your hemoglobin should be at. And at this point, we need to give you a transfusion. I had all of that there. And I think when you're going through something like this, you feel like this huge loss of control, and you're just hoping the nurses and doctors know what they're doing. And I'm sure they do, but everyone has an off day. So the fact that I had that notebook with me, and if I ever questioned something, I could look in my notebook. I could show them if I wanted to. Yeah. I never needed to, but it helped me to feel more in control of what was happening in my life. And the gratitude, that just being able to flip it is very powerful. So all of those things, the visualization, the gratitude, the notebook, the documentary, taking back control of my life, those were ways I was able to grab back some control when I was going through an uncontrollable situation.
As you were talking, I had the visual of another person. It's actually giving me chills now, but I watched the doc. You know who also did that? And it was not a story of survival. Farrah Fawcett. Did you ever see her documentary of her cancer?
I think I did a long time ago.
Wow. Yeah. That was really sad. Well, she did a documentary when, you know, she found out that she had cancer. And of course, her was not a survival story. It showed the days that, you know, she was in bed and she sick and worried about her beautiful hair falling out. And, you know, because her signature was her hair. Mm-hmm. And it was very sad. So did your documentary go into, was it detailed? Like when you were really sick and thrown up and all that stuff? Did you do it?
I never really was throwing up. I felt a little sick to my stomach once, or it wasn't bad at all because I had anti-nausea drugs. I think everyone's cancer journey is different, but no, I definitely showed those moments where things weren't going well, where at one point I was rushed to the hospital in the middle of the night. You see me on the bench for a short period of time. I'm very weak. I can hardly talk because I have mucositis. It goes all the way down. It's like a strep throat almost, but it's chemical from everything. So just everything was bad. And that moment I needed my first blood transfusion. I have my friends taking footage of me when I'm getting the blood transfusion, I'm sleeping. So no, it's not just, hey, I survived and everything's good. You see the rough part, which I think is really important to see, so that you can go through the fire and come out.
Oh, I love it. So where can anybody watch this? Is it still up? This documentary?
The documentary. Yeah, I just put it up recently to YouTube just to give it to anyone who wants to watch it. It's so if you just look up just 1 year, I'm getting my book and my documentary confused. Just 1 year, a story of triumph over cancer. That's my documentary. And then my book is this is just everything. So this is more complete because I could write about everything. This is Joy, the story of a dolphin trainer, filmmaker, and cancer survivor. And it's like my hero's journey through cancer, because we all have a rocky story. You know, we go through tough times and we come out of it. We all have our own paths. And this was my path and how I came out of it.
Okay. That is absolutely beautiful.
All right. And you can go to Amazon. Sorry. You can go to Amazon and get it. Joy, the story of dolphin trainer, filmmaker, and cancer survivor.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, we're, So one of the things that I do as well is I link from the show page to, you know, my guests, you know, their books or their website. And I would also link out to your documentary, because, you know, a book is great, but visual, that documentary is going to be powerful. And that's basically why I asked you to, because again, it goes through the hard moments. It goes through, you know, when you were weak, you know, when you maybe lost hope, right? And how you found it. So that is amazing.
Hi there. This is Jessica Anderson, founder and creator of 360 Life Changes. Have you ever heard of a fitness card reading? At 360 Life Changes, we change the game on getting physically and mentally fit. We created fitness card decks that will tap into the best daily energetic workout possible that is completely customized to meet your individual and specific needs. The fitness card deck will openly give you the clarity you need to tap into your higher self while transforming your body to the best version of you. For more information and products and services, come check us out at 360lifechanges.com. Receive a free booster card reading when you use coupon code TRANSFORM. That website again is the number 360, L-I-F-E, changes.com.
In the book, How Many Faces, Nicola Anderson is a ruthless businesswoman who doesn't suffer fools lightly. At the top of the food chain in the business world, the curvy CEO has all that she needs and considers men as an afterthought. However, she's powerless against a chance meeting, a world-renowned romance, and a fast descent into love. What happens when her basest desires are about to be the reason for her downfall? With her heart and livelihood at stake, just how far will she go to protect the things she holds dear? Dive into this steamy novella, How Many Faces, and discover how hard a woman pushes back when her back is against a wall. How Many Faces, now available on Amazon or wherever you get your books. In the book, Ruthless Pamela Jean, author Denise Mitchell introduces us to Pamela Jean Metcalf. She's a kid who was abused her whole life because of the color of her pale, light skin. At age 8, when her own mother failed to stop the bullying, young Pamela took control. In a tunnel, the 16-year-old fights back. Later, Pamela Jean begins a very successful escort service to finance an initiative against child bullying. The story of running an escort service will have readers laughing out loud. It's truly a book all will enjoy. Pick up a copy of Ruthless Pamela Jean on Amazon and be inspired about Pamela Jean's story of survival of child abuse. Congratulations on hitting number one on Kindle Unlimited.
What if I told you that you can increase sales dramatically for your business and it won't cost you an arm and a leg? Hi, I'm Robert Hudson from IncreaseSalesDramatically.com. I want to help you attract more customers organically by getting you to the top of online search engines without the ridiculously high price tag of online or offline advertising. Learn more by going to my website, IncreaseSalesDramatically.com. That's IncreaseSalesDramatically.com.
Now, one of the things I want to get to is the topic of our conversation. So you said that you found your purpose after you came out on the other side of cancer. In the beginning, when you wanted to be a dolphin trainer and then you wanted to go to film school, did your purpose line up with those two things, or did you find a different purpose?
I really believe, first of all, we all want to find our purpose. This is the thing that everyone thinks about. I believe everyone thinks about and wants to find in their life. But I really believe that we all have these gifts, and you just follow your passion in life and then the purpose will follow. And so I didn't know what my purpose is. I mean, you're in college, you don't know what you're going to do. So you follow what your passion is. And so by following my passion, I was able to find purpose with that. And my journey, and then being struck with cancer, that okay. gave me purpose.
All right.
Also.
So let me interrupt for a minute. So yes. When you wanted to become a dolphin trainer, what do you think your purpose was at the time, or why did you want to train dolphins? So let's start there.
I've always loved animals and the ocean, and always been a big part of my life. So that was just something that I enjoyed. I really liked psychology, and that's what you use positive reinforcement to work with animals. So that it just kind of all came together, but I don't know if that was my purpose in life, but it gave me a direction.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. You're not going to just jump out of the crib and have a purpose that you know of.
No, I wanted to know if your purpose evolved. That was the reason for that question, because you went through some challenges to become a trainer. Like you talked about the visualization and yeah, you passed that. And normally when somebody goes through that, it's because it's their purpose, or it's something that God wants them to do. And he helps them to overcome that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then you stayed for a little while and then you went on to film school. So let's go through, let's walk to that. So why Why did God give you a message that you needed to get out to the people when you changed careers to film school?
I actually think so, because I had been in a dream job, moved to a different one, and I got cancer within 3 months. And so I think because I was in film school, it's amazing how things happen in your life, right? Because film school said no to me. If they hadn't said no, I wouldn't have made a documentary. It wouldn't have impacted people and given them hope. And then afterwards, after I was done with cancer, things weren't great afterwards. I was lost in my life. It took me a while to get back on my feet. And when I finally did get back on my feet, I fought to get back into SeaWorld. And I took the swim test when I had bronchitis. I thought I was a shoo-in, but I blew the interview. It was horrible. I passed on all the questions. It was horrible.
Yeah, so, cancer of the throat. I mean, that had to affect your breathing, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. It was, but I made it back. So I fought my way back there, and not because I thought it was my purpose, but because I wanted to be happy again. And I wasn't in a happy place in my life. And I felt like I survived cancer for this, and I wasn't doing anything significant with my life. So I went back to where I've been the happiest. And when I went back there, I was able to start a program for kids who have cancer where they can come to the park and get in the water to meet a dolphin. And one of the most important parts of that program was that I would tell them my story. So I would say, hey, I know a lot of you here are being treated at Children's Hospital. I was treated there too. But now look, I get to work here at my dream job, and I get to share it with you. And then I remember having magical moments with the kids where they would just start sharing what they had. Oh, I have leukemia, but I just try to be positive every day, and I have a brain tumor. And it was like this moment of sharing. And so I really knew that it was very important that I wasn't just any other trainer there, that they knew that I had been where they are right now, or that what they were going through, and that I had made it to the other side. So I think it's very powerful to see someone do their dream job, and it's physically active, and they look normal again. That's a powerful thing, and that gives people hope.
That's absolutely amazing. So, okay. Listen, when you're going through trials and tribulation, you're like a drowning person. You clutch on to anything that gives you hope. And one of the most powerful visual ways to get hope is to see somebody that have come through it and not survived. Because like you said, there's all these things about not surviving, you know what I mean? So that was beautiful. So did that become your purpose?
Yeah, I feel like giving hope has been my purpose. And I could feel that from the minute I started growing back a little bit of hair on my head, because I'd go back to Children's Hospital. I was an adult at the time. I was treated as an adult at a children's hospital, which is a whole nother story. But but I would go back and visit my 5-year-old roommate. And I remember her mom introducing me to the other mothers. Like, look, she was her roommate, and she had cancer, and she's growing back hair. And, you know, people would be feeling my head, and it would just give them hope that they could be on the other side too. And so that was the first moment when I realized that, you know, whenever someone survives something, there's something that I almost named my book this, and I changed it, but I call it the survivor's gift, because just by surviving and being an example of what you've been through, you give other people hope.
Yeah. That's what I just said. Yeah. That is, it is absolutely amazing to see it. Again, your book is also a way, because books, what you're doing right now on the podcast, talking about it, you know, people are listening, people are reading, you're touching people at the hospital, you're giving the little kids hope, and their parents too, yes. Because who suffers more? You see the kids, they're like so lackadaisical and whatever, you know, they have this built-in resilience. But the parents is who are suffering. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So you've given the parents hope as well. Go ahead. Yeah, what are you saying? Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. It's so funny that you know that, because I don't think everyone realizes that. But when I was in the hospital, the kids were fine for the most part. I mean, yeah. They would yeah. still be playing, or, you know, yeah. some of them would be skating their IV pole down the hallway. They were still being kids, but it was the parents yes. that just took on that huge burden and felt the sadness yes. of everything was going on. It's really a huge lesson that kids can teach us, of just living in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how I know that, other than, I guess, just the commercials that I see with the kids from St. Jude's and when they speak or to give an interview, They're resilient and they're not afraid, but I know that the parents are terrified, because that's what parents are. We're protectors, and we want to shield our kids from pain and suffering. And we're terrified, but the kids, you're right. They go play, they have friends, and they know they're sick, but it's not bothering them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's amazing that you're able to do that. All right. So you mentioned your book already. So we'll talk about, we'll officially introduce it now. And your memoir is called Joy, the story of a dolphin trainer, filmmaker, and cancer survivor. So tell us, what made you write the book, and what is the message that you're trying to, other than, of course, you're a survivor, what is the message that you're trying to share?
Are you looking for shirts that make a statement? Then check out theredsouls.com. We believe that every soul has a unique color, and we chose the color red because it's the color of blood. This rich color ignites passion and is associated with the root chakra. It is also associated with raw power and burning energy. So, head over to theredsouls.com and pick up your t-shirt. We have over 1,000 designs. That website again is theredsouls.com. theredsouls.com.
Are you a real estate professional, wholesaler, flipper, contractor, cleaner, or service provider to the real estate industry? Then this networking event is for you. Join the ladies of ABWREI September 24th to 26th for the Real Estate Investment Retreat, with educational workshops on Friday, September the 24th from 9 to 5. A property tour on Saturday, September 25th. Yes, you can add your properties to the tour for investors to make offers. Join this networking event where you can mix and pitch your services or properties to a room full of investors. The host hotel is the 12th Centennial Park Hotel, located at 400 West Peachtree Street, Northwest Atlanta. For more information or to join, visit www.abwrei.com. Email info@abwrei.com or call 1-855-716-8283.
At Hype Girl 101, we empower women to be themselves while expressing it through fashion, homeware, and jewelry. Hype Girl 101's mission is to help you to look your best and inspire your confidence. We have the perfect combination of women's clothing, homeware and garden, jewelry, and accessories that are all tailored to meet your needs. Even if you're not sure of what you want, our eShop has several ways to help you identify your needs and style. Shop now and get 50% off your order. Visit us at hypedgirl101.com. That is hypedgirl101.com. Vanessa R. Pittman, a Black New York native, wife, and mother, finally focused on her dream to become a writer. She's one of the co-authors of Testaments from Survivors, Women Healed and Whole, Volume 3, which chronicles the lives of various women from all walks of life and the obstacles endured that was meant to destroy them. Each author tells the story of how they chose not to let life drag them down and how generational curses were broken for the next generation. A very empowering book for women of all ages, and should be the topic of your next book club.
To pick up your copy, visit Vanessa and the Wub at thegreeneyedravensinspirations.com. That website again is thegreeneyedravensinspirations.com.
Introducing Bijou, bridging the gap of our differences through art, journalism, and community activism. Supporting Bijou is helping to spread awareness of the trauma colonialism has had and continues to have on society. Learn more at bijou.com. That's BIIIJUU.com. Bijou, the world is waiting for you.
Just to give people hope, whenever someone in my life would know someone else that found out that they were that they had cancer, they would always refer that person to me. And so I would tell my story to a lot of different people just to give them hope of, you know, or let them know what to expect. So I think just reading an honest story of what someone goes through is really powerful. So I mean, I don't candy coat anything in here. So you get everything. You get the ugly joy, the ball joy, you get everything, the sick joy, and you get the joy that survives and gets married and everything's great joy. So I think that is very powerful. And I wanted to share that with people with that, this book. I also had Zig Ziglar. I actually met him because I called him up to thank him and to let him know how much his words had meant to me. And before I knew it, they flew me out. I was in Hawaii at the time. They flew me out to Texas and I got to give a speech in front of Zig Ziglar all about how much his words meant to me and how they helped me get through cancer. And afterwards, he encouraged me to write a book. And he said, I'll never forget, he said, and if you write a book, I'll find you a publisher for it. And that was really powerful. But at that point, you know, I just didn't feel like I was at a point to write a book. So it took some more living and getting back on my feet. And then I started writing the book. Zig passed away in 2012. But I just decided to go for it and I wrote it a long time ago, but I finally just put it out myself, and it's been getting great reviews and helping people. People are passing it on to their loved ones who are going through a rough time. So I know it's giving people hope. I had a friend of mine who just went through cancer. She's still growing back her hair. I haven't talked to her since high school, so that's a long, long time ago. And she read my book and she said it was like reading her own story. And it showed her that life can be even better after cancer. And I think all of that is really important. This is basically the book that I wanted to read, was a book of survival. And I wanted to see the ugly stuff too. I wanted to see all the tough stuff that people went through. And this is what I show. I show everything until I'm able to find my rocky story and my hero's journey where it is right now.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You know, as you're talking, I'm connecting with you on a deeper level. And, you know, I see that, the journey that you're talking about, because it's okay to say that you survived cancer, but it's also different to say that when you were going through it, you didn't want to jump off a cliff. You didn't want to, you know what I mean? You wanted to live. And you did everything that you needed to do to live. And I'm glad when you also brought up the point that, okay, so you just survived cancer, but then you were lost, right? Yeah. What happens now? The cancer is gone. What happens now? And that's a good thing to do, because people would think, okay, now that you survived cancer, that you should be so blissful that you're floating in heaven.
Absolutely. Yes. And that's not the case. It's because, and here's the reason why. For me, I was bald. All my muscles had atrophied from being in a hospital bed for the last 6 months, and I had PTSD, but I didn't know it. So I was still in my head sick and going through cancer every night. I would sleep and dream that I was still sick in the hospital. So it took me a year. I think that's something that's really important, is when you do go through something like this, to know when it's time to reach out for help. And it took me a year to realize I needed to get help. So I finally started talking to someone about a year out. And that's when I feel like I started to really heal from cancer.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's a bonus. That part, yeah. I didn't expect. It's just like, I think I heard someone say that after you, he had his leg amputated, you can still feel the leg, even though it's not there, kind of thing. You know what I mean? So what you just touched on is that even though you're healed, your brain is still, you know, in the trauma, of cancer. Wow, I didn't expect that. So that is a bonus. Yeah. So that's awesome. All right. Well, listen, I always believe, you know, that that things are interchangeable. For instance, I was listening to a podcast this morning, and the guy was talking about, actually it was Oprah's podcast, and he was talking about sex addiction. One of the guys that I really love now, Gary Zukav. I read The Seat of the Soul. I'm studying it right now. And then I'm going to go back and read it again because it's got such big information in there. But anyway, he was talking about sexual addiction, and he was saying that someone that has got a food addiction might be judging the other person, calling them a pervert or whatever. But what he was trying to say is that all addictions come from the same place, that you don't feel you don't feel empowered, right? You feel that there's something lacking, and you're using this particular addiction, whether it's food, shopping, sex, whatever, it's in the same bucket. So the reason I brought that up is because your story is talking about surviving cancer, but there's so many things that people have to survive, right?
Yes.
Cancer is just one of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. So this book can help a lot of people in their survival story, whether it's divorce, whether it's losing a child, whether it's being homeless, you know, whether it's losing your job, whatever it is, these principles can be transferred into whatever story you're looking at. It's triumph over anything.
After challenges in life. Absolutely. And that's something that it's not just about the cancer. It's about our journey in life. And for me, it was also about being with the wrong person, having someone leave me when they found out I was sick, and how I came back from that. And then when I was lost, how I was able to finally make a plan and get out of that, of being lost. So it's just, you know, my journey through life. And we all have these wonderful stories that we go through in our hero's journey. So fine.
That is great. Awesome. Well, this has been a fabulous conversation. You know, I got chills through it. So I know that if it touches me, it's going across the airways, and it's going to touch anyone that's listening. So that is great. Even to set them up for the fact that maybe they're not going through something right now, but if they build a foundation that when they get there, to whatever life challenges is, because we're all going to go through it before we die, right? When we get there, we'll have a foundation in order to survive it, you know, and get through it, and not let it, you know, sink us into like an anchor underwater kind of thing. So that's beautiful. All right. Well, listen, guys, this has been an awesome conversation with Joy. She's a joy to interview. She was even named correctly, Joy. You know, your name says a lot, right? So, I just want to let you know that if there's something, a part of this interview that you missed, then head over to the show page, which is blog.myhelps.us. I will have a transcript of my conversation with Joy on the show page with links to her documentary and also her book on Amazon. Definitely want to encourage you guys to do that. I'm going to go watch that documentary myself because I think that it will definitely inspire me. Also on the show page, you'll find links to our sponsors for this episode. Please remember to support the advertisers that support the Transform Your Mind radio and podcast, right? So as we come to the end, Joy, I want to give you a chance to maybe give someone a quote, something similar to your hero, Zig Ziglar. You know, is there a message that you can leave for someone that a sentence that encompasses your journey?
Well, I don't know if I can come up with one sentence, but there's one thing that Zig said that really affected me. And that was, it's a question that you can ask yourself. Do you respond or do you react? And I think that's really powerful to just take a moment to step back and see if you're responding to a situation or reacting. And he compared it to going to a doctor. If the doctor says you're responding to the medication, that's a good thing. If they say you're reacting to the medication, that's a negative thing. So remember, we all have a choice in life, and just ask yourself that question. Am I responding or am I reacting?
Yes. Yes. Those are good. I also like that analogy because someone is listening. They're not quite sure which is the right one, but this is a journey that I've walked on personally, not to react to negative things that come into your life. And, I'm a meditator and, I try to keep calm, and my journey is the way that I check myself on where I am spiritually is exactly that. And I'm reacting a lot less now.
That's great.
I've become like my heroes. I'm not totally there yet, but I react very, very, rarely, most of the time, I let it simmer and there's no reaction at all. It just comes. So that is a spiritual place. That's a powerful, powerful, powerful way to end our story. Even, you go into the doctor and the doctor says, hey, you have cancer. And you say, well, what stage? And they say stage 2. The first thing you should think about, hey, there's a chance. Even stage 4, people have come back from it. Yeah. I mean, I heard Michael Douglas having stage 4 throat cancer, the same as yours. Mm-hmm. And I'm so surprised that not only he's back, he's in the movies. And everybody, I was writing him off because I always heard that when you're at stage 4, it's the end of your life, you got no chance. And he came back from his.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is it's hard to look at statistics, but then you always have to focus on the good part of the statistics. And, I said that at one point in my documentary, if 1% of people make it through this, that's going to be me. So you just have to really believe that, no matter what, you're going to be the one that survives and you're the one who gets through it. And
yes,
just have that,
you're the 1%. Help you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You're the 1%. So that's beautiful. Again, we're expanding on what you just said, but reacting. So you react. Hey, no, I'm going to die. No. Hey, I have faith, right?
Yeah. And it gives you more control, because there's that whole thing of if when you feel a loss of control, then it leads to depression and it's just not a good place to be in. So if you can have the power to respond to a situation and not react, that gives you back control over your life and what's happening in your life.
Yes, yes. Love it, love it. This was good from the beginning to end. All right, guys, you know what to do. If this is content that you find inspiring, I bring guests like Joy every week and we have these great conversations. And it's all about transforming your mind to transform your life. And if there was a tagline for what Joy talked about today, is how she transformed her mind, how she responded, didn't react, how she found gratitude, how she visualized, how she, when she heard no from the school, she found a way around it. And that's basically all we need to do. We need to recognize that we are definitely in control and we can design our life. So thanks again, Joy, for this inspiring conversation. I was inspired and I hope that you guys are too. So remember to, subscribe if you're listening on the podcast. Go check out my channel as well. If you want to watch Joy and this interview, then head over to the Transform Your Mind podcast channel. We will also be on the Preach the Word Worldwide Network Television show. And this again is hope and faith and inspiration. It touches all the gamut. So thanks again, Joy. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, blessings.